Tagging one shots by Mood Masterclass with clean routing. Advanced Ableton Live workflow for drum and bass. All right, let's build a system you can actually use when you're in the middle of writing a roller and you don't want to lose the idea because you're stuck auditioning snares for 40 minutes. The goal today is speed with consistency. You're going to audition one shots through a clean, repeatable routing setup, and you're going to tag them by mood in a way that maps to real drum and bass arrangement decisions, not abstract vibes. Real this works in the drop decisions. By the end, you'll have an audition path that stays loudness safe, an Ableton rack that lets you hear a sample through different lenses instantly, and a naming and folder system that makes your future self feel like you have a personal sample manager built into your brain. Step 0. Set the scene. Set your tempo to 174 BPM or whatever you live at, 172 to 176, same idea. Now drop in a simple 8-bar DNB context loop onto an audio track. Name it REF. This is not for inspiration, it's for reality. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4, hats on 8ths or 16ths, and a couple ghost notes if you want. Keep it basic. The whole point is, a snare that sounds massive in solo can vanish the second you have hats and bass fighting for the same space. We're judging in context from the start. Now step 1. Clean routing. This is the backbone. Create two audition tracks, one called Audition Drums and another called Audition FX/Bass. Even if you're only tagging snares today, build it now. Future you will use it. Then create an audio track called Audition Bus, and another called PR Remaster. Here's the routing. Set Audition Drums audio to go to Audition Bus. Same for Audition FX/Bass. Then set Audition Bus to go to Premaster. And then PR Remaster goes to the master. Everything else in your session, including the REF loop and any scaffold drums you make later, I recommend also routing to PR Remaster. The idea is, master stays basically clean. You don't want some random processing on the master tricking you into tagging the wrong samples. On the master, if you want anything, keep it to metering. Spectrum is perfect. That's it. Now gain staging, because loudness bias is the silent killer of sample tagging. On each audition track, drop a utility as the very first device, and set it to -6 dB as your starting trim. This is not a rule forever, it's just a baseline so nothing comes in screaming hot. On Premaster, add a utility at 0 dB, just so you have a global trim if you need it. Then add a limiter with the ceiling at -1 dB. You're not mastering. This is just protection, so when you hot swap through a folder of wildly different samples, you don't get blasted and you don't start choosing samples just because they're louder. A good target, before the limiter, your audition hits should peak somewhere around -10 to -6 dB. Comfortable. Consistent. No jump scares. Step 2. Build the mood audition rack on the audition bus. On audition bus, drop an audio effect rack and name it OS Mood Audition Rack. This rack is your lens. It's not the mix. It's how you judge character quickly. You're going to create three chains. Chain A is clean or true. This is your what is it really chain. Put a Q8 first. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz for drum one shots. If you're auditioning bass stabs, you can relax it to 20 to 25. Keep EQ moves tiny. We're not sculpting, we're checking. Then utility. Width at 100%. Turn bass mono on and set it around 120 Hz, especially for kicks and snares with low body. That helps you judge low-end stability without stereo illusions. Chain B is dark or heavy. Start with a Q8. Gently tilt darker, maybe a shelf down 1 to 3 dB around 8 to 10K. Then add a touch of weight with a small bell around 180 to 240 Hz. But be careful, that can make snares boxy fast. Then saturator. Analog clip mode. Drive somewhere between 2 and 6 dB. Soft clip on. This is a quick way to hear, does this sample get mean in a good way, or does it fall apart? Then glue compressor. Attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto ratio 2 to 1. You want 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on loud hits. Just enough to see if it holds together under pressure. Chain C is bright or cut. EQ8 first. At a high shelf. Maybe plus 2 to plus 4 dB around 7 to 10K for bite. If it gets harsh, notch a little around 3.5 to 5.5K. Then drum bus. Drive 5 to 15%. Crunch subtle. Boom very careful and transients up. Especially if you're checking jungle style snappiness. This chain tells you if the sample can speak through a dense top end. Now macro mapping, because speed is the whole point. Map a few key controls to 8 macros. Input trim, HP frequency, a tone macro that effectively moves your brightness up or down, saturation drive, glue amount, transient amount, width, and output trim. And here's the teacher note. This rack is not for fixing a bad sample. It's for hearing whether a sample has the DNA to become what you need. A tight roller snare, a fobby halftime hit, a crisp jungle pop, a sharp metallic stab. Same sample, different lenses, same monitoring chain every time. Step 3. Fast auditioning with simpler and hot swap. On audition drums, drop a simpler. Put it in one-shot mode. Turn warp off for most one-shots. Turn snap on. Set a clean envelope. Attack at 0. Sustain at 0. Decay short, somewhere like 0.2 to 0.8 seconds depending on what you're auditioning, and release around 20 to 60 milliseconds to avoid clicks. Now create a 1-bar MIDI clip that hits C3 on quarter notes. 4 hits per bar. Nothing fancy. This is your test pulse. You want to hear the transient consistently. To hot swap, click the sample field in Simpler, hit hot swap, and arrow through your browser results. This is where your new routing shines. No matter what you load, you're hearing it through the same bus, same limiter safety net, same rack options. Optionally, for a more DNB readal approach, use a drum rack on audition drums with lanes, kick, snare, hat, perk, effects hit. This lets you hear interaction, like kick and snare transient collisions, hats masking the snap, that kind of thing. Drum and bass is interaction music. A snare is never just a snare. Step 4. Tagging my mood with a taxonomy that actually helps you finish tracks. Stop tagging like a librarian. Tag like a producer. Use a 3-layer tag structure. Layer 1 is roll. What is it? Kick, snare, clap, rim, hat, ride, perk, stab, effects hit, impact. Layer 2 is mood or energy. Dark, heavy, neuro, rolling, jungle, rave, glossy, raw, dusty, warm, cold. Keep this set tight. If you invent 40 moods, you've created another problem. Layer 3 is mixed behavior. This is huge. Tight, wide, sappy, thud, punchy, re, short, long, toppy. These are the words that predict what will happen once the bass arrives. So a practical file name looks like snare dark punchy tight 01, or hat jungle dusty short, or FX hit neuro metallic wide 03. Now, Ableton doesn't have a universal tagging field like dedicated sample managers, so we do this in a realistic way. Method 1. Curated folders plus consistent file names. On disk, make folders like one shots, drums, snares, then subfolders like dark, jungle, bright, whatever matches your mood set. Rename your winners with the 3-layer structure. Add the one shots route to places in Ableton so it's always there. Method 2, which is honestly underrated. Save Ableton presets. If you love a one shot, do minimal setup and simpler, like envelope, start point, maybe a tiny filter and gain trim. Then save it as an ADC preset named like snare dark snappy tight. Presets remember all that annoying setup work, which means next time you're writing, your one shot lands in the track already behaving. Now let's upgrade the tagging mindset with decision tags. You're going to force an outcome. 4 options. Keep A, meaning top tier, would use today. Keep B, meaning good but needs layering or the right context. Archive, meaning not bad, just not your sound right now. And nope. And here's the trick. Put the decision tag at the front of the file name or the folder path so it sorts together. Keep a snare dark punchy tight. That prevents the endless maybe later sample graveyard. Next coach note. Normalize perception, not audio. Don't destructively normalize all your files. Instead, calibrate your monitoring. Put a utility on PR Remaster and map it to something like Monitor CAL. Set it so your loop sits at a comfortable listening level in your room or headphones. If you change systems, you adjust Monitor CAL, not your whole library. This keeps your tagging consistent across time. Now do the context gate check. Turn your reference loop up a little. Turn the audition one shot down a little. Now ask, does it still read? If a snare only works when it's loud, it's not a drop anchor. Tag it layer, ghost, edge, whatever fits. This one move alone will save you from building drops that feel great in solo and weak in the actual track. Also, commit a tuning policy. For kicks, only tag tuned if you actually tuned it to your project key or to a common root you like for DNB, like F or G. Otherwise, leave it and don't lie to yourself with a file name that implies it's ready. For snares, only tune if it improves tone without killing the transient. If you leave it raw, tag something like RAW pitch so you know what you're grabbing later. Now add one more layer that high-level producers use constantly, job tags. One-shots are rolls, not instruments, and they do jobs inside a drop. Anchor holds the groove down. Stable, the main snare energy. Edge, adds bite and definition, often layered over an anchor. Movement has texture, noise, pitch, tail, character. So now your naming can become, keep a snare dark, anchor tight, short, and that tells you, instantly, how to use it. Step 5. Compare moods in a real D&B scaffold. Build a quick 8 to 16 bar arrangement scaffold. Bars 1 to 4, minimal hats and ghosts. Bars 5 to 8, full roller drums. Bars 9 to 12, add a placeholder bass, even just a reese. Bars 13 to 16, add a crash or impact and some ride energy. Now audition one shots in each section, not just looped in isolation. A snare might feel dark in the intro, but in the drop it might be not loud enough, or too soft in the transient. An FX hit might be perfect as a bar 13 impact, but way too long for a bar 1 texture. Routing tip here, keep your scaffold drums going to a drums bus if you want, but the audition bus should sit beside it, not inside it. You want your audition chain consistent and separate, so you never confuse "this sample is good" with "my drum bus processing is making everything sound good." Now common mistakes to avoid. First, tagging solo only. In drum and bass, the 5 to 10k zone gets crowded fast with hats, rides, distortion noise, and bass harmonics. If you don't audition in context, you're basically guessing. Second, loudness bias. If levels aren't controlled, the louder sample wins every time. Third, overprocessing while tagging. If you need 10 devices to make it usable, it might not be a drop snare. It might be a ghost, a layer, or a texture. That's not failure. That's correct classification. Fourth, too many moods. Keep it meaningful. You should be able to remember your moods without looking at a spreadsheet. Fifth, no separation between audition FX and mix FX. Your audition rack lives on the audition bus, period. If you sprinkle random devices across tracks, you will forget what you're hearing and your tags will be unreliable. Now some pro tips for darker, heavier D&B. Tag low mid attitude. Heavy often lives around 150 to 350 HC for body, and 1 to 3 KHC for bark. If it helps your brain, add personal descriptors like chewy, barky, or hollow. Personal language is fine as long as it stays consistent. Check mono early. Put a utility on PR Remaster and map a mono toggle. This audio version is shortened for playback.